All right. Good morning, everyone, and glad everybody's here today. Hard to believe, first Sunday of 2020, right? Our plan was Pastor Mike to start off to end the year in preparation for the upcoming year with a sermon. Last week it was from Ephesians 6, 10 through 17, about putting on the full armor of God, and that's what he talked about last week. And then we're going to do two more sermons today and next week, before all the college kids are back. Just hopefully getting your minds focused on, growing and falling in love with Christ, falling in love with the Word in 2020. So that's kind of what these three messages are about. If you weren't here last week, make sure and go online. Mike's sermon was awesome. You can always listen to all of our sermons online. And I think it will be really edifying for you. So today, it's crazy because I don't know if Sam intended it, but when he came up and prayed and talked about our focus and our vision, for this year at Ridgeview being the Word, and that's exactly what this message is about today, and that's what he prayed about, and I think there's obviously a common theme here running through the hearts of all of us, and so that's what I'm going to talk about. One point, and Randy prayed for it, one point of Mike's message really caught my attention last week. It's crazy to think about it. So there's six armor pieces mentioned in that passage of scripture. And most of them were for protection or other purposes. We talked about the belt of truth, the shoes of readiness, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation. That's all stuff that the soldier puts on his body, mainly to protect them from the attacks of the enemy. Those are all girded around him, help him to be defended from the enemy's attack. But the only mention of an offensive weapon in this passage of Scripture is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I'd never thought about that last week, and it really kind of amazed me, right? If we're going to go into battle, we need some type of weapon. But all we need is God's Word. And that's what he tells us. In our daily battles against the enemy, the Bible tells us our best and only weapon for destroying the devil is God's Word. If we know that, why in the world do so many Christians struggle to consistently be in his Word? And I probably will raise my hand. There's been times in my life that's me. Why in the world do so many Christian churches and pastors hold such a low view of God's inspired, infallible, inerrant Word? One of my favorite movies, you guys have probably seen this, is Hacksaw Ridge. Anybody seen that movie? Hacksaw Ridge was pretty awesome. It was about a man named Desmond Doss. And he refused to bear arms in World War II because, as kind of a conscientious objector, he was didn't feel like it was right to kill somebody. He was a Christian. So there was a story about him. But the incredible thing about it is, what did he and they approved for him to go into battle without carrying a weapon? And it was the Battle of Okinawa, and he saved 75 men without a weapon. He refused to carry a sword or a knife or a gun of any kind, and he came out alive. Well, I hate to tell you, we can't do that as Christians. We can't go into our daily battles without some kind of weapon, because our enemy is the devil, and the devil doesn't miss. So that's a great story, but if our only hope is to destroy the enemy, whose only goal is to destroy us, we need to open our Bibles and dive wholeheartedly without abandon into the life-giving beauty and richness of each verse, each book, all the way from Genesis to Revelation. But the question is, how do we do that, right? How do we start reading God's Word? I think we've all asked that question. For many, that might be the reason you've never really opened your Bible. It keeps us, that doubt, that fear keeps us from opening his Word. Maybe you've tried to make it a priority, but you give up because you really don't see much fruit from your daily reading that you do. If that's you, today's passage from the book of Psalms was written just for you. Not just this passage, actually the whole chapter. It's my prayer that today we can lean into His Word for encouragement and instruction in knowing and desiring His Word in 2020 so that we are prepared in our battles, not just to survive, but to slay the enemy. And yes, it is that simple. His Word is our source of strength as Christians in everything we do. So I'm going to have you guys now open your Bibles. We're going to start in the book of Psalms chapter 119, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 176. No, not really. We're going to read verses 9 through 16, but we'll hit highlights of the chapter throughout the sermon. So it says, "How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies I delight as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word." So before we jump into this message, let's just go ahead and pray one more time here. God, I think we all know when it comes to reading your word that we feel woefully inadequate. These are words that were inspired by you through your Holy Spirit. They hold life. They are our weapon against our enemy, Father. And I just pray that in this time that we get to jump into your word today, that your scripture would come alive to us, that we would hear it, but not just hear it, really do it, God. We can do it only through your power and by your help, and we'll talk about that here in a minute. God, I just pray that you would give me direction and guidance. Remove anything that's keeping this word from penetrating our hearts, Father. And I just pray that it would motivate us and bring us to a place of worship and exaltation. We thank you, God, for your word, for your Son, and for your Spirit. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I read a really good quote the other day on social media. It said, "I wish I hadn't spent so much time reading the Bible this year, last year." Believe it or not, that was a quote on our Ridgeview Facebook page. And it was attributed to no one ever. I think no one ever and the author of this poem, Psalm 119, are and were the same person. And I'll explain that. David is most likely the author of this chapter, the longest in the Bible with 176 verses. This is just some kind of extra stuff that I read. You don't really see it in English, but if you have the Hebrew translation, it's a beautiful poem. And I'm not even a poet. But it has 22 stanzas. So if you look at your Bible, it's sectioned into 22 pieces. And each stanza is one for each letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Although we have a lot of good English translation, if we had the original text, we'd see that the 8 poetic lines within each stanza begins with the same Hebrew letter. If we look even deeper, it appears that that number 8 stanzas, 8 poetic lines, it appears that that number 8 may relate to 8 Hebrew words that appear throughout the psalm concerning its main theme. It talks about God's law, His testimonies, precepts, statutes, commandments, rules, word, way, promise. Those are repeated all throughout every single verse. And I'll give you some more stats here. Those are kind of the translated English words that correspond to the Hebrew. Obviously, the author of the poem did not have the Bible, right? He lived in Old Testament times. He did, however, have the Jewish Torah, which was the law of God revealed to Moses, which makes up the first five books of the Bible. So when he talks about God's law, about commandments, precepts, that's what he's talking about. Whether it's Moses or Paul, all of the men who contributed to the gospel, to the word of God, were inspired by God and empowered by the Holy Spirit to reveal through those their words the character and holiness of God so that he would be glorified through them. That was the whole purpose. He used man to deliver his word so that he would be glorified. That's what these eight Hebrew words point us to. All eight of them occur in five of the stanzas, and every stanza has at least six of the eight. As I read through, and I might have missed one or two, but I counted the English words that I just gave you at 176, which means on average one of these words was mentioned in every single verse. With statistics like that, it's probably crystal clear that the author of this poem deeply loved God's word and had a deep desire to live a life that kept his law. It's a beautiful poem written to reveal the greatness and the glory of God's word. When we had our elders retreat in August, we all agreed that the pursuit of his word should take front and center stage, not only in 2020, but for as long as there's a Ridgeview Bible Church. His word is at the core of who we are as believers. When you walk through that door to Ridgeview, if you can't understand that, then we're not doing a very good job. We need to study it because it establishes the truth of the gospel and continues to help us grow deeper and deeper into the roots of faith that are shown through the life and work of Jesus Christ. Because of that, I believe this psalm contains wise words of instruction and encouragement as we strive to make his word central to who we are as believers and as a church. So my hope for today is that this poem can show you how you can approach God's word in 2020 and love it just as much as the author did when he wrote it. It's a beautiful poem about God's word, and you can tell that he was deeply in love with it. And I think if we dive into it, it can help us be deeply in love with it as well. So a couple of keys here that I'm going to touch on that you can see in this book. The first thing probably may or may not be obvious. Read it. The first word of instruction given in this poem is that to know God's law, his commandment, his word, whatever you want to call it, any of those eight words, you must read it. How do I know that? Just look at all the verbs used throughout this chapter that indicate action on behalf of the author. Psalm 119:10 says, "With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments." 15 says, "I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways." Psalm 119:31, later on in the book, it says, "I cling to your testimonies, O Lord. Let me not be put to shame." So we have seek, we have meditate, we have cling. There's other kind of different words. It says long for, rise before dawn, call to, keep. Those words are all words that indicate action on our part. When we seek something, we're actively looking for it. We're not just sitting in a chair. We're actively out looking for something. When we are meditating, we are actively focusing our mind on something that we deem important. The Bible does not get read unless we open it and read it. Have you ever been around Christians who know just the right verse to encourage you in every single situation? I think we can all think of people like that. You know, maybe you share with your friend, "You know, I'm really struggling at work, and I've been offered another job out of state, but I really don't know what to do because my family just really, really loves it here." And the buddy you're talking to says, "Well, You know, Philippians 4:6 says, do not be anxious about anything, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Somebody who knows the word that well, that they can pull out scripture for every need, every situation. It didn't happen by accident. People like that spend consistent time in his word. They seek it, they meditate on it, they memorize it. The other thing this time of the year that we see a lot is churches, pastors, our Bible apps are all offering plans to help you through the entire Bible in 1 year. Some of them are 7 days a week and maybe you have to read a little bit less. Some of them are 5 days a week and maybe you have to spend a little bit more. But here's the truth about all of them. They're not a magic plan. To know God's word, you have to read it. You must make it a priority. Heaven forbid that you might have to get up a little earlier or spend less time on social media or watching Netflix. If you are serious about knowing God's word, you will find time for it. I read this little statistic as well. If I'm not challenging you and convicting you, this will. Did you know that in 2 hours, if you read at an average pace, you could read through Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon, James, 1 Peter, 2 Peter, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and Jude. You can read that much of the Bible in the time that it takes you to watch an average movie. Granted, many of us are intimidated or feel like we lack the skills necessary to study the Bible. Reading it and understanding it are two totally different things. And I'll talk about that more here in just a minute. But guess what? That is why we offer so many Bible studies and small groups at Ridgeview. We take the Word of God seriously here, and we want you to take it seriously too. We don't want you to just read your Bible. We want you to understand it and have the ability to actually apply it. But here's the second thing. That's our natural part, right? There's a much deeper truth revealed consistently by the psalmist throughout this poem. There is way more to knowing God's word than just reading it. We all know people who have read the entire Bible and maybe know it very well. But guess what? There's never been any kind of spiritual transformation as a result of that knowledge. For them, it's all about head knowledge. While they completely lack the transformative power of the Holy Spirit as they've studied the Word. For the Bible to become more than just a great story, we all need God's help. How do I know that? Just look at verse 12 from today's passage. And that's the title of the sermon today. Verse 12 says, blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. Another verse, 119:26 says, when I told of my ways, you answered me, teach me your statutes. Psalm 119:124, deal with your servant according to your steadfast love and teach me your statutes. All in all, the author of this poem asks God to be his teacher as he reads his word 11 times. That doesn't even count the times that he asks God to help him in his understanding or maybe some other ways of asking God for help. Can you see that central message to this? The author of the poem loves his word, but he fell in love with it through God's help, not just by reading it. We don't know the value of his word without him showing us. And we definitely can't delight in it unless he shows us it's delightful. We need his help for us to have the supernatural ability to read and value and delight in it. The Bible wasn't just meant to be read by our brains. It was meant to be read by and through the power of the Holy Spirit. We have the responsibility of reading it. God has promised to help us understand it and to see his truth and desire his word more than anything else. All right, so you're saying, I get your point. But how is that possible? This isn't a secret. Ask. Ask God. For years, I'll be honest, I don't know, I might have mentioned this before, but I got a Bible when I was, I think, in junior high school. That's how long, and now it's middle school, so that's how long ago I was in that grade. But in junior high school, I got a Bible. And I started reading it, and I read it from front to back. And it was a special translation meant for teenagers, so it was a little easier to understand. And I read it, and the stories are great, right? And there are some good messages we can get out of it, right? But it was not until I understood the truth that I'm telling you today that my motivation and mission in reading his word completely changed. You don't have to be a great scholar or genius of biblical studies or advanced theology. You don't. He reveals himself by the power of his spirit through his word, and all you have to do is to ask for his help. Isn't that pretty awesome? But what I want to do today, because again, I think every little bit helps, I'm going to give you some help as you approach time spent in his word and how you can ask and how you can pray. And I think some of you guys may know this acronym, but there's an acronym that I learned that really helps a lot and I use consistently as I approach his word and read it, and I'll give you it. It's the acronym is IOUS or IOUS. The first I stands for incline. And it's really cool because all of this is found in Psalm. Psalm 119:36 says, "Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to selfish gain." What does this mean? It means an absolute surrender of yourself to God. It is admitting that by your own power and by your own wisdom, you aren't able to see and understand the mysteries of God. It's saying, God, take control of my heart so that I might desire your word and long for your word and know your word, not by my intelligence, but by your power. The O stands for open. And we can find that in Psalm 119:18. It says, "Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law." This really is the supernatural part of asking God to help you reveal his word. Instead of just reading words, we pray that God might open our eyes to the wonders of Scripture so that we can see it and savor its worth and value for our lives as followers of Jesus. People who can't see the Bible as the power to transform lives have never really read it through the illumination of the Holy Spirit. The next one is, the U is unite. And this isn't, I told Brandon they're all in 119, but this is different, so you don't have to put it up here. But it's on, in Psalm 86, verse 11. And it says, "Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name." The word unite means to bring together for a common purpose or action. If you are like me, most of the time when I sit down to read the Bible, it's really, really easy to get distracted by a billion other things going through your mind, right? What bills do I have to pay? What can I do to encourage my child? I wish I was still in bed. Our own flesh and the troubles of this world have the tendency to completely scramble God's word so that we receive little satisfaction from reading it. Pray that God would bring together your heart and your soul and your flesh so that you are focused on Him as you read the Bible. And the last S, the last one, S stands for satisfy. And this is Psalm 90, verse 14. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love that we may rejoice and be glad all of our days. The final prayer is really, I guess what I feel is the culmination of all the other three. It is simply asking God that through His word, we may be fully satisfied in Him so that we desire Him above everything else. We see that in His word. Every time we open it, reading God's word through His power reveals His infinite worth, beauty, mercy, grace, and love. His word shows us that there is nothing in this world more satisfying than Him. Because of that truth, revealed by His Spirit, His glory is exalted as we worship Him for the grace extended to us through the work of Jesus on the cross. The exaltation of God's glory is the ultimate goal of Bible reading. We read His word and we're satisfied in Him through it. End of sermon, right? I just showed you, hopefully, how to help you as you open up your word to see it more than just another novel. Unfortunately, hang in there, got a few more points, because there's a really important message that I think the psalmist wanted us to see other than that. Satisfaction in God and His word is evident in our day-to-day lives in a multitude of ways. So how can we tell? How can I tell somebody who's truly satisfied in His word? How can I tell if I'm truly satisfied in His word? What's the measuring stick here, right? Look at these verses, and there's quite a few of them. I kind of will go through them quickly. Look at these verses and see what the psalmist tells us. Psalm 119:9, that's from today, and it says, how can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. The application? Or the evidence? How can we remain faithful in our daily walk? As we battle the enemy, as we hit the struggles of lives, how can we remain faithful? By obeying His word. Psalm 119:11 says, I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. How do we know if we're satisfied in God's word? We battle sin daily by faithfully abiding in His commandments. Psalm 119:13. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. If we are truly satisfied in God's word, we can't help but tell other people. I declare all the rules of your mouth. Psalm 119:14 says, in the way of your testimonies I delight as much as in all riches. This is all about value, guys. What do you deem is valuable? When we see the value of God's word, that it is life-changing, we can't help but immerse ourselves in it, and soak up every ounce of God we can from it. There is nothing, riches, gold, treasure, rubies, fame, popularity. There's nothing more we delight in than the Bible, and people who love the Bible love God. Psalm 119:29, put false ways far from me, and graciously teach me your law. If you're satisfied in God's word, you discern good and evil through it. Not by what the world says. Not by what the news says. Your discernment of what is true and false is directly attributed to his word. Psalm 119:37, turn my eyes from looking at worthless things and give me life in your ways. If God's word is your moral compass, I should seek after things that are honoring to him. Psalm 119, 41 through 42. Let your steadfast love come to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your promise. Then I shall have an answer for him who taunts me, for I trust in your word. If we're satisfied in God's word, when we go through times of persecution, we cling to his promises. Psalm 119:48, I will lift up my hands toward your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes. If you see God's word for what it truly is, and it becomes beautiful, then it leads us to worship. That's what he says, I will lift up my hands. Psalm 119:50, this is my comfort in my affliction, that your promise gives me life. Guess what, guys? When you're going through affliction, struggles, trials, difficulties, God's promises, which are in his word, are your source of strength. Just a couple more. Psalm 119:66. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe in your commandments. This is what's crazy. The world tells us that people who are wise according to their intellect. God's word tells us that he is the source of and foundation of our knowledge and our wisdom. And we gain that when we spend time in his word. Psalm 119, 81. My soul longs for your salvation. I hope in your word. Guys, as we travel through life, his word is our greatest source of hope so that we do not become discouraged. That's why we should open it and read it so that we gain that hope when we go through struggles and we don't get discouraged. I could go on and on through this psalm. It's full of hundreds of examples of what life looks like when we value, delight, esteem, are encouraged, and fully satisfied by the truth of his word. What am I thankful for? I'm thankful that Ridgeview Bible Church is full of people who live like this and are willing to help me and you in any way they can to make reading and knowing his word your greatest priority. Tomorrow, next year, if you want to be fully satisfied in God, open your Bible, pray for his help as you read it, and trust that you will see his word as your most valuable weapon that he's given you to navigate life as a follower of Christ. All right, if you'll bow your heads, we'll close. God, I just thank you so much for your word, for this poem, the truth that it reveals, that it challenges us, that it convicts us, but it guides us in all hope and all truth, that we can live life no matter what stands in front of us if we know your word. You are always faithful to it. So I just pray that we can press in. I challenge everyone here today, God, that you would help them to read their Bible in a different way than they ever have before, and that they can see you glorified through it. Thank you for your help. We can't do it alone. We just thank you so much that we are saved through the blood of Jesus Christ and not by our works or our ability to read the Bible. It's by your power. In his name we pray. Amen.